So we are holding on Tesvav Amud Bey's second line from the bottom. We started discussing the question of whether you can have a mechitza, which is exactly parutz ka'omer, exactly as much closed in as open area. We have to remember that if you have a space of less than three tefachim, then it's considered lavud, and then it's actually that area is actually considered closed up. So that doesn't count towards the parutz merubala oimed or oimed merubala parutz. Well, it counts towards the oimed merubala parutz. It doesn't count to the parutz merubala oimed. So we're talking about specifically if you have gaps wide, three tefachim rather, or wider, if you have exactly as much gaps as closed up area, is that allowed or not? We had a machlokas, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, and Rav Papa, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, Rav Papa had said it's mutter, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua had said it's also. Okay, so Toshma, we learned in a braisa, Sheyora Shechonsa Babika, if a caravan stays over Shabbos in a valley, which is the case that we had in our Mishnah, in the case of our Mishnah, we had that the Hikifur Klei Behema, that they used animal utensils to surround it. For example, they used saddles and whatnot, and the Mishnah had given rules about how the mechitza has to be. So the braisa is going to talk about the same situation and give more details. This caravan had camped out on Shabbos in a valley, where the valley itself is carmelous, so now they have to put something around themselves to be able to carry there on Shabbos. The kifur begmalin, and they surrounded themselves with camels, or b'ukofos, with the saddles, ba'avitin, with the pillows that go under the saddles, the shlifin, with bags of the merchandise or whatever that they're carrying, b'kanim, with reeds, b'kochos, or with stems of vegetables, whatever. All of those things form valid mechitzas as long as they're 10 tefachim tall. Metaltal and besaycha. So now they're allowed to carry in that enclosed area. Now, there's going to be rules that we're going to see later on, but right now we're focusing on the rules for the mechitza itself. As long as you don't have between one camel and the next the length of a camel, so suppose you're using all camels for it, then you have to make sure that there aren't gaps the size of camels between them. Similarly, if you're using saddles, there can't be a gap between one and the next the size of a saddle. And similarly, if you're using the pillows that go under the saddles, then there can't be between them the space of a pillow. And the same thing with all the other things, the point being, in other words, that we see that you can't have exactly as much space as closed an area. That's true according to the Huna Breda of Yeshua. According to the Papa, it should be allowed because you have exactly the same amount of space as you have closed up area. So the answer is, the Gemara says, Hochanami k'shenichnas v'yotze. The answer is, just like we said in a couple of previous ones, at the end of the previous Amud, that Rav Papa would explain that it's talking about k'shenichnas v'yotze, that you have, the gap is large enough. For example, in the case of camels, the gap is not exactly the size of a camel. The gap is actually slightly larger, enough that you could actually take a camel in, or put it, or take it out through that gap. Meaning, in other words, that you have slightly more gaps than closed-in area. And then, of course, Rav Papa agrees that then it would be puzzle. He says it's only kosher if it's exactly 50-50, and if the gaps are large enough to actually take a camel out and put it in, then it means it has to be slightly larger. Because the Gemara often has an expression in some places, amsa ba'amsa hechi yosiv. Like, if you have something which is exactly an amma, it's not going to fit into a space exactly an amma. It's going to need to be a fraction more than an amma in order for it to be able to fit in. Here, it's the same thing. If you have a space exactly the size of a camel, then the camel is not actually going to fit in there. It just means a camel would be able to be next to there, let's say, and without fitting in. So the same thing. Then, in order to actually put the camel in to the enclosure or take it out, you would actually have to have a slightly larger space. And so, therefore, so that's what the braisa is saying. According to the papa, is no good. Okay, Toshma. We learned in a braisa. Now we learned a few days ago about how you need mechitzas in connection with kilayim. We have there's a din in the Torah. It's actually in this week's parasha about kilayakerem, that you're not allowed to plant vines and you're not allowed to plant grapevines and grain or vegetables or whatever near each other. And you have rules about how far you need to separate them. We talked about a few days ago an illustration of how far you need to separate them in certain cases. But you also have a din. We talked about that if there's a fence between them, then you're allowed to plant on both sides of the fence. Now, a fence for this purpose has many of the same dinim as Shabbos. We actually had a machlokes the other day between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish to what extent do the rules that apply to Kelayim apply to Shabbos and vice versa. So the Braisa says, in connection with Kelayim, Nimtzei Sa'ata Oima Sholosh Midas B'Mechitzis. It comes out that there are three different rules when it comes to Mechitzis. Rule number one, Kol Shehu Pachas Mishloisha, if let's say you made a fence made out of vertical reeds, so all of them are standing up next to each other. So the first case is Kol Shehu Pachas Mishloisha, if the gap between one reed and the next is less than three tefachim. If the reeds themselves are less than three tefachim wide, then you have to have a space of less than three tefachim between one and another, in order that a goat cannot just walk through straight there. Rashi says it means straight through without being interrupted. Now, we learned a few days ago, and we're going to learn later in the Gemara, about that b'kias gedoyim, that a goat is able to walk through, is when it's three tefachim off the ground, but you also have that it's also when it's three tefachim from side to side. That's what we had the other day. A lechi can't be three tefachim away from the wall of the mavri for that reason. So by the same token over here, you have to have less than three tefachim between one reed and the next. And then if you have that, then it's fine. Even if you have three tefachim, then you have a problem, because then the fact that a goat can get through takes away the concept of lavud. We're going to discuss later on, is this true according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as well, who says that lavud is up to four tefachim. We'll get to that point later. But in any case, it actually says, if the gaps are less than three tefachim wide, then it doesn't matter even if the reeds are much narrower than that. So Rashi gives an example. Let's say the reeds are two etzvos wide, and the space between one and the next is two tefachim, which is much bigger. It's still kosher because a gap less than three tefachim is lavud and is considered closed up. So then you'd be good. And then you could plant your grapevines on one side of it and your vegetables or whatever on the other side. The second case, kosher gimel, if the reeds or sticks or whatever that you're using for the fence are three tefachim wide, umi gimel ad dalet, or anywhere between three and four, but not four itself. So if it's 3 or 3.1 or 3.2 or whatever, all the way up to 3.9. Then the rule is, then what you have to have is that, you can set them less than three tefachim apart, and then for sure you're good, but you don't need to do that. All you need to do is you need to make sure that the space between one stick and the next, between one board and the next, is not the width of the boards themselves. Because then you're going to have, since you have oimen meruba, since you have, as long as the gaps between one board and the next, so let's say the boards are 3.5 wide, so you make sure the gap between one and the next is, let's say, no more than 3.4, then what you have is, we say it's oimen meruba ala parut, and then what you have is, you don't say a concept that we learned before called we don't say that the empty space on both sides is mevatel the board in the middle, because the empty spaces on each side are less than the width. Each space on the sides is less than the width of the board. So therefore, that's fine. This way you don't have porutz equal to oimed, which is what we're going to be asking from Rapapa. We're going to be asking, once we finish the Braisa on Rapapa, from this, that we see that there can't be porutz koimed, where Rapapa says that should be allowed. But let's continue the Braisa. Now, if you do have more porutz than oimed, if you have more open space than closed in space, and again, remember, here the gaps we're talking about are wider than three tefachim, so we don't have lavud anymore. So if you have parutz merubah la'omer, then the din is af keneged ha'omer aser. Then not only you wouldn't be allowed to plant your grain on the other side of the fence from the grapevines, you wouldn't be allowed to plant it in front of the gaps, you wouldn't even be able to plant it in front of the areas where you have the boards. So you have board, gap, and let's say you didn't make sure to make sure that the, you didn't make sure that the gaps are narrower than the boards. The gaps are wider than the boards, and we're going to discuss later what happens if they're exactly the same width of the boards. Then we say that the boards themselves are bottle. Osia vira de high giso mavatale. The empty space on both sides is mavato the board. Therefore, you can't even plant in front of the. So therefore, you can't even plant in front of the board. If you have the grapes on, if you have the vine on one side of the board, you would not be allowed to plant. You would not be allowed to plant grain or whatever on the other side of the board. Then the third. So that's the second rule. Then the third rule. Omer ba ad eser amos. Then if the board is anywhere, if the boards are anywhere between four tfachim or up to 10 amos. Then you have to have, there can't be a gap between one and the next equal to the width of the board. Now that's the same as the previous rule, and the Gemara is going to discuss later on on the Amud why we don't just combine those two together. But anyway, so shaloyeh parutz ka'omid, in order that you don't have parutz ka'omid, again, in order that you don't have exactly as much gap as closed in area. The im hoya parutz ka'omid, in this case, though, it's different than the previous case. If you have parutz ka'omid, then kenegeda oimid mutter, kenegeda parutz osir. Then the din will be different, because, as the Gemara is going to point out later on, an area of four tfachim is already considered significant. So therefore, once you have, if the boards are each four tfachim wide, or wider than that, then the boards have a certain significance. So the mechitza is not a valid mechitza, because you have parutz ka'omid or parutz merubah ala oimid, which is the point that we're going to get to later. But the point is, each board in and of itself is considered significant enough that you're able to now plant the grain on one side and the vines on the other side of it. That's if it's parutz ka'omid, v'imhoya oimid merubah ala parutz. And if now you were careful to make sure that the gaps are smaller than the boards, so your boards let's say are each 2 amas wide, and the gap between one and the next is 1 or 1.5 amas, then af kenegeda parutz mutter, then you're actually even allowed to plant in front of the gaps. Again, to have grain on one side or vegetables on one side and grapes on the other, because the gaps now are considered like part of the mechitza, because you have omen merubah ala parutz. Nifritza b'yosem e'eser also. On the other hand, if you have a gap anywhere more than 10 amos, then it's going to be osir. Now, that's why we talked about the boards being from 4 tfachim up to 10 amos wide. It's not like the boards can't be wider than 10 amos, but once you get beyond 10 amos, you can't talk about a din if the gaps are equal in size to the boards or less than them, then it should still be kosher, because not going to be. If you have a gap anywhere of 10 amos, if you have a gap anywhere of 10 amos, then it's going to be osir, because then you don't have, then a gap 10 amos, as we learned in the Mishnah, is not considered a Pesach anymore. It's considered a break in the Mechitza. Rashi actually learns that in that case, if you have a gap of 10 amos anywhere in the Mechitza, then you wouldn't be able to plant anywhere around that. You wouldn't be able to plant anywhere next to that Mechitza, even in the non-gap, even in the closed-up areas. In other words, Rashi is saying basically that having a gap of 10 amos in one place is even worse than having parutz ka'omid or parutz merubah ala omid. Because we said before, if you have that, then at least once these boards are 4 tfachim wide or more, then you're allowed to plant next to them. But Rashi is saying, if you have a gap of 10 amos anywhere in the enclosure, then you don't even have that hector. On the side of it here, it brings from Tosfos Yeshanim, who disagrees, and actually brings a Mishnah in Kilayim that says that that you wouldn't be allowed to plant in front of the 10 amma wide gap, or more than 10 amma wide gap, but you would be able to plant by the sides where it's still closed in. Okay. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Hoyushim konim adukronim. What if you had in this area where you want to plant your grain and your grapes and whatever, you have sharpened stakes stuck into the ground, but oisalan peya milamaila, and then he put a branch, or peya literally means something woven. So he put woven branches from one to the other, milamaila on top, meaning he made a tzuras haPesach. Then it will be allowed, even if it's wider than 10 amos, because it's a Tzuras HaPesach, and as we've learned, a Tzuras HaPesach is good even wider than 10 amos. Okay. So thus far the Braisa. Katani Mias Resha Migimovad Dalid. Now, let's analyze. We said in the Braisa that one of the cases was, the Resha was actually the second case, but whatever, it's Resha compared to the rest of the Braisa. We said Migimovad Dalid. We said that if the boards that you're making the fence with are more than 3 tefachim wide, but less than 4, so again, 3, 3.1, 3.2, etc., then we said it's okay, ulvad shelo yehi ben zeh lazeh kimiloyoy, as long as you don't have an area, a space between one and the next equal to the size of the board. So in other words, if the boards are 3.5 wide, let's say, then the gaps can't be 3.5 also, they have to be 3.4 or less, tuf to the rapapa. So that's a contradiction to the rapapa. According to the rapapa, that should be fine, because you have parutz ke'oimet, it's exactly the same. And again, the answer is, like before, omalach rapapa, my miloya nichnes v'yotze. Again, miloya over here would mean a tiny bit more than 3.5, enough to actually put the board in or take it out. Again, if you're going to have, if the board is 3.5 wide, 3.5 tefachim wide, you're going to need a space slightly more, you're going to need 3.51, 3.52 or whatever, in order to be able to get that board in and out. Because otherwise, if you have a space exactly equal to the width of the board, it's not going to fit in. And in fact, the Gemara says, Hochinami Mistabra. In fact, it seems logical to understand the Braisa that way, that we are talking about Nichnas V'yotze. Midikotoni, because the Braisa continued, Imhoya Porutz Merubba Ala Oimed, we said that in that kind of case, where you have, where the boards are between 3 and 4 tefachim wide, we said, if you have more gaps than Oymed, if you have more gaps than closed up area, af kenegad Oymed oser, then you're also to plant even next to the boards, because again, we said the boards themselves, we say osi avira dehai giso mavatal, that the open space on both sides of the board is mavatalit, so now it's as if you have no board there at all, and again, the board itself is not wide enough, it's not 4 tefachim wide, so it itself doesn't have a chshivus. So therefore, so ha ka'oimen motor, which seems to imply that it's only the problem if it's parutz meruba al oimed. Apparently, if it's parutz ke'oimed, exactly the same, then it would be motor. Shmamina. So therefore, that proves that actually the braisa works out better according to the papa. So now the question is, in that case, then we have to ask the other way around. Does that mean now that this braisa is going to contradict Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, who says, as we said, that Parutz Ka'omid is also? It's true. The braisa clearly seems to be implying by the words, by saying, Imhaya Parutz Meruba Ala Oimid, then you have a problem. So what is Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua going to do with that? Amaloch, so Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua can answer like this. V'litaymeich, nu, according to your own svara, that you're asking the question, Ema Sefer, look at the next case of the Mishnah, where we said we have the case where the boards are more than, are 4 tefachim wide, or anywhere from 4 tefachim to 10 amas wide. So we said over there, Imhaya Oymed Meruba ala Parutz. We said there that if the Oymed was wider than the Parutz, then it would be mutter even in front to plant on one side and on the other side, even next to the gaps, because again, we said the gaps are just considered like entrances into the enclosure. So then it would be mutter. Ha kip parutz osur, implying that if it was exactly the same as the parutz, then it would be osur. So you see that part of the price that goes better according to Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. So of course the obvious question is safer kasha l'ra papa reisha kasha l'ra huna bered Rav Yeshua. Okay, so you seem to have a contradiction in the braisa itself. Does it go better according to the papa, or does it go better? The beginning goes better according to the papa again, because the earlier in the braisa we use the expression that if it was parutz meruba ala oimid, then you have a problem, implying that if it's the same, then it's fine. But then in the Sefer, you have Imhoya Parutz Ke'oimid, if you have Oimid Meruba Ala Parutz, then it would be Mutter. So that works out better according to Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, that only if it's Meruba is it fine. So how does this work? So the Gemara says, So Sefer L'Rapapa L'Kasha. So it's like this. Rapapa is not going to have a problem with the Sefer because he's going to say like this. I did Tana Reisha Parutz Merubah Ala Omer. Since in the Reisha we use the expression Parutz Merubah Ala Omer, and Rapapa says that is precise because only if it's Merubah Ala Omer do you have a problem. If you have it was exactly the same, it would be fine. So once it used that expression in the Reisha, Tana Sefer Omer Merubah Ala Parutz. So then in the Sefer, it uses the parallel expression, Oymed Merubah Ala Parutz. Even though it's not precise, it could have said Oymed equal to the Parutz. But again, as usual, the Tanoim, when they taught Brises, they try to make the language as consistent as possible in order that you don't get confused when you're learning the Brise about that. So even though the Sefer is a little bit inexact, Rapapa is saying the Tana relied on the fact that in the Reisha it's exact, and therefore we're going to understand what the Sefer means as well. Similarly, Reisha is not a problem for Rav Huna Breda Rishua because the same idea. I did borrow the mission Sefer Omen Merubah Ala Parutz. Since in the Sefer it has to say Omen Merubah Ala Parutz because again, according to him, it only works if it's merubah. It doesn't work if it's equal. Then you wouldn't say that you're allowed to plant in front of the gaps. So since it has to say in that case, omen merubah ala parutz, tana reisha parutz merubah ala omen. So therefore, in the reisha, it uses the expression parutz merubah ala omen. Same idea. In other words, that one part of the braisa is speaking inexactly. In fact, it would be also even if it was parutz ke'omed, but the braisa just gave one part precisely and the other part less precisely, which we find sometimes. Okay, so both of them are able to make the braisa work according to their respective shittas. Okay, next. Bishlema l'rapapa. Okay, so now we can ask like this. According to rapapa, again, that parutz ka'omed is mutter. Mishum hachi loy oriv luhu v'toni luhu. I can understand why the braisa does not combine together the cases where the sticks are less than three tefachim wide and the cases where they're three tefachim wide. Because they're two different things. When the sticks are less than three tefachim wide, we can't say, so when they're less than three tefachim wide, all we care about is that the gaps themselves are less than three tefachim. And there we don't care if the gaps are much wider than the sticks, because again, up to three tefachim is lavud. We can't combine that and with the case where you have where the ones where they're three tefachim wide. Therefore, now if it was exactly three, also remember a papa allows parutz ka'omed. If they're exactly three, that would mean the gaps are exactly three. And that would be fine because parutz ka'omed. So the braisa tells a different case where it's between three and four, where there already you can't say that it's okay just if you have that it's okay if you have gaps up to so there it's different. There you can't say you can't have gaps of less than three tefachim because you're allowed to have gaps of more as long as they're no more than the size of the actual boards themselves. So the braisa doesn't combine those two cases together because they have different dinim. One is where it's less than three, where it's less than three, then you can have them up to three apart. Where it's exactly three, you also can have them up to three apart because parutz ka'omed is mutter. Only if it's more than three, then you have. Only if it's more than three, then you have the issue that the gaps can't be wider than the boards themselves. But according to Rav Huna Brei de Rishua, why don't we say parutz ka'omed is aser? So the Mishnah could be combining together the case of three together with the case of less than three. Again, in the Braisa we had like this: we had where it was less than three, we had where it was exactly three or between three and four. So according to the Papa, that division makes sense. Less than three, you can have less than when the boards are less than three wide, you can have gaps of up to three tefachim because lavud. And then when it's three tefachim wide or between three and four, then you can't have then the din is you can't have gaps that are wider than the boards, but you could have gaps that are exactly the width of the boards because in the case of three, the gap is going to be three tefachim and three tefachim is still lavud. So, actually, you don't even need that because not because of its law, not because it's law, but rather, but because porotz ka'omer is mutter. So therefore, so it works out that you have three and 3.1, for example, would have the same din. If the boards are three tefachim wide, then the maximum spaces you're allowed to have between one board and the next are three. And that's fine because it's porotz ka'omer. And if it's 3.1, then the maximum gaps you can have are 3.1 and so forth. So that makes sense. But according to Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Rishua, three should be combined with the previous thing. It should be like this. If it's up to three tefachim or exactly three tefachim, then you can't have gaps of three tefachim between them. Because after all, according to Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Rishua, if the boards are three wide and the gaps are also three wide, then you have a problem, because according to him, porotz ka'omer is also fine. And if the boards are two tefachim wide and you have gaps of three tefachim, you also have a problem, because it's not lovered anymore. So why don't we just combine together those two? So why don't we just combine together those two cases? Why are we putting three together with 3.1 when instead we could be putting together with 2.9? The answer is, it's true that the din would be the same in both cases, but the reason behind the din would be different if the boards are 2 tefachim wide versus if they're 3 tefachim wide. So, mishum delay dummy, psula de resha, la psula de seifa. Because the psul that you're going to have in the resha, where it's less than 3, where the boards are less than 3, is not the same reason as the psul in the seifa when the boards are exactly 3. Because in the Reisha, if the boards are 2 tefachim wide, there we're not concerned about porotz ka'omer or porotz meruba ala omer anymore, because, again, even though there are gaps up to 3 tefachim, it doesn't matter, because up to 3 tefachim is lavud. So all we care about is there shouldn't be enough room for a goat to get through, because that would break lavud. So we want to mention that case separately, because in those cases, the reason why you can't have a gap of 3 tefachim has nothing to do with porotz ka'omer, it has to do with goats not getting through. Psula de sefer, shalo yed porotz ka'omer, whereas in the sefer, if we were to mention so when it comes to 3 tefachim, then the reason for the psula is different, according to Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Rishua. It's not a matter of goats getting through. And we know that because, after all, if let's say the boards were 4 tefachim wide, and the gaps are also 4 tefachim wide, goats can get through, or even if the gaps are less, even if the gaps are only 3.5 tefachim wide, goats can still get through, and Rav Huna, and nobody's concerned about that, because at that point, we say Oymed is greater than Parutz, and therefore we don't care about the Pirutzis. In other words, we have to realize the difference is, there's a difference whether we're trying to consider these gaps as if they themselves are closed up space versus whether we're trying to consider them as they're open spaces, but it's okay because they're bottled to the closed spaces around them. When you have less than 3 tefachim, what we're saying is the space itself is considered closed because of lavud. When you have a gap of 3 or more tefachim, then we're saying the space itself is considered open, but provided that the standing walls around it are larger than it, according to Huna Bar Yehuda Rishua, or at least equal to it, according to the Papa, then those spaces are bottle. We consider them, they're part of the mechitza as well, because they're doorways in which people can get in and out of the enclosure. So anyway, so the point is, again, when it's less than 3 tefachim, when the boards are less than 3 tefachim, the reason why you're not allowed to have gaps of 3 tefachim or more is because then goats are going to get in. And when you have when the boards are 3 tefachim or wider, then the reason why you can't have gaps of 3 tefachim is for a different reason. Shelo yehe porotz ka'omer. In order that you won't have porotz ka'omer, which according to Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Rishua is possible. So therefore, so different reasons, and the Braisa, after all, doesn't just want to tell us the dinim, it wants to tell us the reasons behind the dinim, so therefore it chooses to put it that way, to put the case of boards that are 3 wide together with the case of boards that are more than 3 wide, in order to stress that point that there's a difference between the gaps that are allowed because of lavud versus the gaps that are not an issue of lavud, but rather an issue of porotz ka'omer or porotz meruba ala omer. Okay. Fine. So far we've explained the Braisa according to both Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Rishua and Rav Papa. Now we have a different problem though. Pachas Mishloisha Mani. The case where we say, so what do we say? And the Braisa is distinguishing between the case where the boards are less than three tefachim wide versus when they're three or more wide. So pachas m'shloisha mani rabbanon. So that seems to be specifically according to the rabbanon. The amri pachas m'shloisha aminin lavod, shloisha loy aminin lavod. Where the chachamim say, as we know, that only up to three tefachim do you have lavod, but not more than that. So that would be according to the Rabbanan, not Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The problem with that is Ema Sefer, but then if so, let's look at the next part of the Braisa. We said Kol Shu Mishloisha Umishloisha of Ad Arba, where we distinguished between if it's anywhere between three and four versus if it's four from four tefachim up to ten. And what did we say over there? We said that we said that four itself already would be that would be the third case of the Braisa, that if the boards are four tefachim wide, then already, even if the gaps around them are large enough that you don't have a complete fence, you'd still be allowed to plant next to the individual board itself because it's four tefachim wide. Again, we said that if the board is between three and four and the gaps around it are too large, equal to the boards according to the Avona Breda de Rishua, larger than the boards according to the Papa, then you wouldn't be allowed to plant next to the boards either. You wouldn't be allowed to plant anywhere in that area unless you have your four amos or six tefachim or whatever it is in the different scenarios, what you have to have between grain and grapes. But we're saying if the boards themselves are four tefachim wide, then if there's gaps around them, you're not allowed to plant in front of the gaps, but you are allowed to plant in front of the boards, and you're allowed to plant in front of the boards because they're four tefachim wide. Well, then that part where we're mentioning four tefachim, asan l'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that part seems to go according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. D'ama pachas me'aba lavud, where he says that you have lavud up to four tefachim. Because if that part went according to the Rabbanon, Mishloisha Avad Arba, what do you mean according to them you'd have a case if the boards are between three and four tefachim wide? Shloisha Avad Hadu. As far as the Rabbanon are concerned, three and four tefachim has exactly the same dinim. Once it's three tefachim or more, we don't say lavur. So 3, 3.1, 3.2, etc., 4, 4.1, etc., all of those would have the same din according to the Chachamim. So who is this Braisa like? Is it like the Chachamim or is it like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? In fact, Tosfos points out the Gemara didn't even have to ask the contradiction from the Reisha to the Sefer. That within the Sefer itself, where we have the case where it's between four tefachim and ten amos, according to the Rabbanon, we're not allowing it once it's three tefachim wide. We have to wait till it's four tefachim wide. And according to the Shimon Gamliel, who cares? If the boards are let's say 3.5 wide and the gaps are 3.5 wide, it would also, Rav Shimon Gamliel would still consider it lavud and it would be fine and you could plant even in front of the gaps. Okay, Tosfos says the Gemara could have asked it that way, but instead the Gemara likes to ask a question beginning from the Reisha rather than skipping over the Reisha and asking only within the Sefer. Anyway, the question is, who is the Braisa like? Is it like the Chachamim, or is it like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? So, Amar Abaya, mid-Reisha Rabbanon, Sefer Nami Rabbanon. Given that the Reisha seems to clearly be like a Chachamim, because it's distinguishing between less than three and three, and that's only according to the Chachamim, that three is lavud, that up to three is lavud, Sefer Nami Rabbanon, then we have to assume the Sefer is according to the Rabbanon as well. But Abaya says, Umodir Rabbanon, the Rabbanon will agree, it's true that three or more than three, you don't have lavud. However, here we're talking about a different question. Are you able, even though the board has gaps on both sides of it, are you able to plant next to the board? For that, the Chachamim are going to say you need four tefachim. The kol mishra kenegdei, in order to be matir, to be able to plant in front of the board, if it's four tefachim wide, then it's considered a mokum choshev, and therefore you'd be able to plant there. If not, then not. It's true, we're not going to say lavud at that point. But here it's not a question of lavud, here it's a question of makom choshev. So according to Abaye, that's the difference. If the gaps are less than three tefachim wide, then you have lavud. If the board is less than four tefachim wide, though, and the gaps are three or more, then you don't have enough chashivus, then that board does not have enough chashivus to be able to plant grain on one side and grapes on the other side of it. So the whole braisa could go according to the Chachamim. Rabbah Amar, Rabbah says the other way around. V'desefer Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reishin Ami Reb Shimon Gamliel. No, the other way around. Since the sefer clearly goes like Reb Shimon Gamliel, because it distinguishes between less than four and four, and that would be, he doesn't accept Abaya's idea about Mokum Choshuv. So therefore, Reisha Nami Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Reisha also would have to be according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. V'chi Amar Reb Shimon Gamliel Amrinan Lavud. When would Reb Shimon Gamliel say that we say Lavud up to four Tvachim? Hani Mili L'mayla. That's only up above. For example, we had the case the other day where a Koira goes from one wall and doesn't quite extend to the other wall, and Reb Shimon Gamliel allows it if the distance between the end of the Koira and the nearby wall is less than four Tvachim. Because there's no problem of B'kiyas G'dayim. There's no problem of goats walking through or jumping through over there because it's high up. So therefore, he'd say up to four tefachim. Avalamata, but here we're talking about a gap of three tefachim down below on the ground between one of these sticks and the next. Therefore, habilekim mechitza shakdoyim boikimba. So now, yeah, Reb Shimon Gamliel does agree that if goats can get freely through the mechitza, that it's not considered a mechitza, and he's not arguing on metzios with the chachamim that a gdi can get through three tefachim. So therefore, you have it's a mechitza that gdoyim can go through loyamin and lavod. So he says, therefore, we're not going to say lavod on that. So the Braisa can be made to work all according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. Okay. So that was kind of a side, just to establish who the Braisa goes like. Does it go according to the Chachamim or according to Reb Shimon Gamliel? The point is, though, that returning to our Machlokas of Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yeshua, and Rav Papa, we did have a way of making the Braisa work according to each one of them so that it doesn't contradict them. It's true, one or the other part of the Braisa has to be inexact. Either according to the Papa, the Reisha is exact, the Sefer is not. According to the Huna, Breda Rav Yeshua, it's the other way around. But either way, it works out. We also can understand, again, why the Braisa distinguishes between less than three and three, according to the Papa, because those actually have different dinim. If the sticks are less than three wide, you can have gaps up to three tefachim. Once it's three, you can have a gap of three tefachim, because then we're not worried about lavud, then we're just worried about you can't have parutz merubah la'omid, and if the board is three and the gap is three, then you don't have that. Therefore, 3 goes together with 3.1. According to Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yeshua, the reason why 3 goes separate than 2.9, it's true in both cases you can't have gaps of 3 tefachim, but the reasons are different. One is because of B'kiyas G'dayim, and the other is in order not to have Poretz Ka'imid. Okay. So now let's get back to their machloikas and see if we can figure out one way or the other. Prove or disprove one or the other of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua. So Toshma, we learned a braisa a few days ago, Defanes Halalu, the walls of a chotzer, should ruban psachim b'chalonis, if most of the walls consists of doorways and windows. So we had a picture before where you have a chotzer that's surrounded by four walls, as chotzeres usually are, and the majority of the wall of the chotzer consists of doorways up to 10 amos wide, or windows that go to within 10 tefachim of the ground. You have very little actual built up space around that chotzer. So we said mutter. So we said it's mutter. Uvavachia omen merubah alaparutz. As long as you have omen merubah alaparutz. So the question is, as we asked the other day, shirubon sakadaitach, what do you mean most of it is psachim bachalonis? If most of it is psachim bachalonis, then you don't have omen merubah alaparutz, because most of it consists of open areas. No. What the braisa means is shiriba behen psachim bachalonis. They made many doorways and many windows in it. So then mutter, so it's mutter vavachi omen merubah alaparutz, as long as you have more built up space than empty space. So if the perimeter of the chotzer, each side of the chotzer is 20 amos long, and you have, so therefore the perimeter of it is 80. As long as you have that, it seems like the braisa is saying, as long as a little over 40 amos of it is built up, then it doesn't matter if the other 40 amos is open space. Again, as long as none of those spaces themselves are 10 amos wide. So then it would be mutter. Ha kip parutz aser, implying that if it's exactly the same as the parutz, it would be aser. Tiyufta de Rapapa. Here you have a contradiction to Rapapa. And here we can't say we're talking about nichnes v'yotze, because before, when we were talking about making mechitzas with solid objects, for example, we were talking about making them with we were talking about making them with camels or with saddles or whatever. We could talk about nichnes v'yotze. We were talking about sukkah, where we were talking about yesterday's sukkah, where you have over there, you use, let's say, iron poles as part of your schach or something. So there you can talk about the nichnes v'yotze. You can talk about whether the gap is large enough that you're actually able to get the thing in or out, or does it just mean it would fit exactly over the gap? But over here, we're talking about Pesachim v'Chalonis. There's already gaps over there. You're not talking about bringing something in or taking something out through the gaps. So if we're saying over there that it has to be Oimen Meruba ala Parutz, then that contradicts your Papa. So the Gemara says, you're right, Tiufta, it is a contradiction. However, the Hilchsa Kavaseh de la Papa, but the Halacha is like a Papa. Now, what do you mean? The Gemara says, Tiufta v'Hilchsa. How do you have? You just slugged him up from this Braisa, and you're still saying the Halacha is like him? The answer is Ain. Yes, after all, because Mishum the Daika Masnissin Kavasei, because the wording of our Mishnah is more precise according to him. Pitnan, because we learned in our Mishnah, Lo Yopirtis Yiseiris Alabinian, we said the gaps cannot be larger than the built up area. Ha Kib Binyan Mutter, implying if it's exactly the same size as the Binyan in his Mutter. We did actually ask at the very beginning of the Sugya, right after the Mishnah, after we presented the Machlokas, we asked this on Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, that how does the Mishnah fit according to him, and we left it with Kasha. So, okay, Kasha means it's not a complete contradiction. We're not going to assume that Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua doesn't know a Mishnah. All the Amoraim knew the Mishnayos. We left it as a kasha because, okay, we could find a way to enter it, but nevertheless, but now the Gemara is saying that still, the fact is that wording does work out better according to Rapapa, and therefore that's a reason, even though Rapapa is clearly contradicted by the Braisa, still, when we have a choice between a Mishnah and a Braisa, we're still going to follow the diuk from the Mishnah over the explicit statement of the Braisa. So therefore, that's it. The halacha is like a papa, that parutz ka'omid, when it comes to mechitzis, is mutter. Tosfos points out that doesn't necessarily apply to other areas in halacha. You have a case that we learned about in Cholin, in connection with Hilchas Shchita, actually, where you had a case where you shechted exactly half of the windpipe or exactly half of the esophagus. We say it doesn't work over there. Okay, the difference is, Tosfos says there's a difference between mechitzes versus isur and tumah. Okay. Mishnah says, another case, again, talking about these people who are camped out in a valley for Shabbos. So what kind of mechitzes can they set up? So here's one way they can do it. Makifin shloisha chavolim, they can set up three ropes, one rope on bottom, one in the middle, one on top. As long as they make sure that there's not a gap of three tefachim between one rope and the next. And then what they do is shir chavolim va'ovyan yosir al tefach. The total thickness of the ropes themselves is a little more than a tefach. Kadeshi ha'kol asara tefachim. So this way, altogether, you have 10 tefachim. In other words, what you do is you have at the bottom a gap of 2.9, let's say, between the ground and the bottom and the bottom rope. Then you have the bottom rope. You have the bottom rope is let's say 0.4 tefachim. So now you're up to 3.3, another gap of 2.9, another rope 0.4 wide, another gap 2.9, another rope 0.4 wide. Altogether, now you're above 10 tefachim. Or even, okay, let's say, you know, we can use more exact figures and get to exactly 10 tefachim. The point is, no gap is 3 tefachim, so therefore they're all leveled. And you have a mechitza of 10 tefachim or more, so therefore you're good. Okay. So that's one way of making the mechitza. Such a mechitza is called a mechitza of Erev. Now we have, you know, there's Shesi and there's Erev. We talked about those terms in Shabbos in connection with the malachas of weaving. You have the Shesi threads that are set up in the loom that are set in place over there, and then you have the Erev thread going back and forth. So we're borrowing those terms for our sugya over here. Shesi would mean if you make a fence out of vertical poles, which is the next case that the Mishnah is going to talk about. Erev would be the case where we just described about where you have a horizontal, you have ropes, one above the other, three ropes. Okay. So another case, makifin bakanim, you're also allowed to make your enclosure around the camping area with sticks. As long as you don't have three tefachim between one stick and the next. Because again, when you have less than three tefachim, then goats can't get in easily, and therefore it's still considered a mechitza. Okay, and again, that is an example of a mechitza of shesim. So we have a mechitza of erev, and we have a mechitza of erev only, and a mechitza of shesim. So the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, the Shayara Dibru Dibre Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says this whole heter that you're allowed to do an only Shesi fence or an only Erev fence applies only to a Shayara, only to like these people who are in a caravan and they're camping out for Shabbos, not so much that it's a temporary thing, but the point is that it's a caravan is defined as at least three people. But it wouldn't work for a yachid. If you have one individual person is staying someplace for Shabbos, and he wants to set up an enclosure for himself, then Rabbi Yehuda would say, just Shesi alone is not good. Just Erev alone is not good. You have to have both Shesi and Erev. As we'll see in the Gemara exactly what his problem is with that. The Chum say, no, we're mentioning the case of Shayara, because that's the typical example where people are going to be setting up an enclosure like that is you have a bunch of people traveling together and they have to stop for Shabbos. But they're out of this, so they're talking about the normal case, but the same din the Chachamim would say would apply to a Yochid as well. Okay. Another din, Kol Mechitza She'ena Shal Shesi Shal Erev Eina Mechitza Divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says that any mechitza that is not Shesi Ve'erev is not a valid mechitza, meaning Rashi says Rabbi Yosi is actually arguing with his father, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda had said that at least for Shayara, you're allowed only Erev or only Shesi. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even for a Shayara, you don't have that heter. You can only use a fence that has Shesi and Erev. You have, by the way, a discussion in the post-skim, what exactly would be considered, how much Erev do you need in a Shesi, or vice versa, for it to be considered Shesi or Erev, whatever. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying this whole heter of doing three ropes or of doing sticks would not work even for a shayara. Even for a shayara, you need shesi ve'erev. The Chum say you only need one or the other, either shesi or erev. Now, it sounds like the Chachamim are saying the same thing as the Chachamim that are arguing with Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara right before the next Mishnah on Yedzayin Amud Aleph what exactly they're arguing about. So altogether, we have four different opinions in our Mishnah. We have two sets of Chachamim, which we'll see in the Gemara what exactly they're arguing about. They both agree that under certain circumstances, even a Yochid is allowed to use a shesi only or erev only fence in order to be able to carry inside it on Shabbos. We have Rabbi Yehuda saying that the heter applies only to a shayara, only to a caravan of three or more people. And then you have Rabbi Yehuda who says nothing doing at all. You can't use shesi only or erev only at all. Okay. You actually have the Avnei Nezer actually points out in one of his Trubas that he has a number of questions on Rashi's explanation. One of them is based on the Gemara later, but one of them is based on the wording of our Mishnah. Why is the Mishnah starting in the last two lines, Kol Mechitza, She'ena Shal Shesi V'Shal Erev, Eina Mechitza, as if like it's a whole new case? It seems like it's a continuation of the previous case. We were talking about you're using ropes or you're using sticks. And the question is it a valid mechitza or not? So why is the Mishnah presenting it as if it was a whole new case? So because of that, and because of several other questions, he explains instead. He brings the Rif and explains that the Rif has a different shitta than Rashi. The way he explains it, we would say that there are actually two separate machlokas in over here. Number one. And one machlokas would be what we're allowing for a shayara, and a separate machlokas would be what we're allowing in terms of shesi and erev. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Amar Rav. Harei Amru Oymed Meruba Laparis B'Shesi Havi Oymed. Now, we've established clearly in the Mishnah that when you have a Shesi, fence, then you're allowed to have Oymed Meruba Laparis. Because we said in the previous Mishnah we gave the example where you make the enclosure out of saddles or other such things that are used with the animals. Those sit on the ground. We said that you're allowed to have gaps between one and the next, as long as we said there's no one gap that's more than 10 amas, and as long as We also don't have that the gap between one saddle and the next is the width of a saddle, or according to the pup, slightly more than the width of a saddle, wide enough to be able to get a saddle in, but whatever the point is. So we know clearly that if the gaps are less than that for a chassis one, then we're fine. What about a fence made out of Erev? What about a fence that's made only out of horizontal things, like the case of the ropes in our Mishnah? Amar Abayas, Abayas says, well, Toshma, new we say in our Mishnah. Shir Chavolin Ba'ovian Yosel Tefach. Now, like this, we said that, we said in the Mishnah we have the case of a fence that's made out of one rope, one rope, a second rope, a third rope, and we said that works as long as the ropes, as long as the three ropes in aggregate are more than a tefach wide, so you are called a sort of tefachim. And this way, if you have gaps less than three tefachim between one rope and the next, then you have a total of 10 tefachim. Now, fine, that's not a case of porutz merubah le'oimid, because on the contrary, since those gaps are less than three tefachim, we're actually counting them, like we said before, less than three tefachim is lavud, and lavud we're considering closed up. So the case of the Mishnah itself is not a case of parutz merubah ala oimid or oimid merubah ala parutz. It's considered as if you have one solid thing of 10 tefachim. But Abaya says, if you're going to tell me that when it comes to an Erev fence, again, like this, where it's made out of ropes, if you're going to tell me that it's okay to have just oimid merubah ala parutz, you don't have to have the whole thing is solid 10 tefachim. You can have part of it is 10 tefachim and part is open space. So Abai says, so if you were going to say that Oymen Merubah Ala Paretz is kosher with such a mechitza, Lama L'yoster Al Tefach, why would the ropes need to altogether add up to more than a tefach? La'eved Pachas Mishloisha, what we can do is like this. We start out with a gap less, we make in one place a gap less than three tefachim. And that's lavud. The chevel mashahu, then we have a very thin rope over there, not one that's going to be at least a third of a tefach. Pachas mishloish v'chevel mashu, another gap less than three and another very thin rope. Pachas ma'abav v'chevel mashu, and then less than four and a chevel mashu. So altogether, 3 + 3 + 4 = 10. So here we have a little less than three, a little less than three, a little less than four. So it's going to be a little bit less than 10. Fine, but the thickness of the ropes themselves, they'll be very thin ropes. They'll make up the 10, and it would be mutter because, again, what would you have? You would have two of the gaps are less than three tefachim, so those are considered closed up because of lavud. So you have six closed up, and then you'd have in one place a gap of four. So fine, but it would still be oimid merubah ala paretz. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't allow us to do that, the fact that the Mishnah tells us you dafka have to use thick ropes so that the thickness of the ropes themselves makes up at least a tefach, shows that when it comes to an eight of fence, you can't have porutz, you can't have oimen merubala porutz. You need to have solid 10 tefachim. Oh, wait, but the Gemara says no. The Tisvara, how could you think that way? How could you think that the Mishnah could have allowed us to do it that way and it would be a valid mechitza? Now, again, we're talking about, according to Abaya's hypothesis over here, according to his Havamina, we would have a gap of less than three, a gap of less than three, and a gap of less than four. So let's figure out, where would we put that gap less than four? Betisbara, so how do you think that way? Hi, pochus ma'bo, hey, chamoikim lay. Where would you be planning to put that gap of less than four, between three and four? E, moikim lay tatoi, if you put it at the bottom, so you have the bottom rope is less than four tefachim from the ground, no good. Havalikim mechitza shagdoim boikim bo. Then you're back to the problem that goats can walk right through, and that's not a valid mechitza. If you put the gap of four tefachim, of almost four tefachim at the top, the problem is that the rope that's above it, then you have the empty space on both sides is mevatalit. Because again, only when you have gaps of less than three can we say it's considered closed up on the grounds of lavud. But here we have a gap of more than three, less than four. So that's the aver on one side. Now you have above the fence is considered is another aver. Now you have, obviously, you have an infinite amount of aver there because it goes all the way up. It goes all the way up to the sky. So those two together would be mevatalit. Now, Tosfos points out earlier, in a few blocks earlier, we have the case over there involving, we had cases over there involving Osiavir Dahai Giso Mevatale, where we were talking about closing up part of the entrance of a Mavui, and we mentioned in that connection the din about, a, we mentioned in that connection the din about a, about a leather toilet seat where we had over there. There was a hole in the middle, and we were talking about, is the hole batel? So Tosfos mentioned over there that when do we talk about that things on the sides can be mabatel something? Only if, according to one explanation in Tosfos over there, the Ritzvah, is that we only say that only if we're trying to consider that empty space as if it was closed in, which is what we're trying to do over here. We want to consider this four tefach gap as if, almost four tefach gap, as if it was closed in, as if it was parutz, which is going to be bottled to the Omid. Once you have a mechitza 10 tefachim tall, then that mechitza is considered as if it went all the way up to the sky, because in other words, the whole area inside that mechitza would be now a different reshus, and you're allowed to carry in it on Shabbos. So now we would say, though, that now you have a problem. The gap of almost four tefachim on one side of the rope, and the gap above that rope all the way up to the sky would be mevatel. So you can't say that the gap of almost four tefachim should be on the top. E moikim le b'mitzi, let's say we say, according to our buyers, have our min over here, what if we were to put the almost four tefach gap in the middle? So we would have the bottom gap is less than three, so fine, lovod. The top gap is also less than three, so lovod, no problem of avira dehaigisa or dehaigisa. But so now, the problem is, the problem is that now what you've accomplished is, fine, you have omen merub ala porutz, but you only get omen merub ala porutz by counting the two sides together. Which again is going to be like that case of the toilet seat the other day, where you have three tefachim on one side, three tefachim on the other side, a little less than four in the middle. Three is less than four. The only way we're saying omen merub ala porutz is by counting the three and the three together. Does that work? Shamet b'nei omen merub ala porutz m'shtei ruchas hava omed. Would that work? Can we learn from that omen merub ala porutz works even if you have to combine the two sides together to get something greater than the gap? We know that's not so. The halacha is not like that. So our bias proof from the Mishnah doesn't work, because there is taka no way to make it work with the scenario of our Mishnah with three ropes and have it work without and have it work on the grounds of omen merub ala parutz. So what is Rav Hamnuna's question? Rav Hamnuna's question rather is as follows. You're right. He can't be asking directly about the case of our Mishnah, because you're right. In terms of the case in our Mishnah, there's no way to make this fence with the ropes be omen merub ala parutz such that you should have a question whether that works. His question is rather as follows. Suppose a person takes a mat that is a little over seven tefachim wide. V'chokach bagimel. He makes a hole, he cuts out a piece of that mat, three tefachim wide, the shavak badalar mashu, so now he leaves four and a little bit. You have on one side of it, so you have, the whole thing was 7.1, let's say, so he leaves four tefachim of it complete, he leaves four tefachim of it intact, he cuts out three, and you have 0.1 left on the other side. And then he puts that up, and he puts it within three tefachim of the ground. Rashi explains the scenario is, so now you have the 0.1 is within three tefachim of the ground, so now you have less than three tefachim from the ground to the bottom of it. You have a gap of three in the middle. Then you have the 0.1 left over of it, the little strip left over of it. Then you have a gap of three. Then you have a complete one of four. So now you don't have any other problems. We said before, you don't have anywhere a gap of three or more at the bottom. So you don't have gdoyim boikimba. You don't have the high giso because. At the bottom, you're considered to have three solid tefachim since it's lovered, and the part in the middle is parutz, but fine, it's not large enough to be mevatel the four tefach wide strip above it, and you don't have the problem that oymen merub ala parutz mishnei tzadim, because you don't one side itself, you have four next to the three, so you've covered all of those. So now the question is, fine, on the grounds of all the three things we mentioned before, it'll work, but will it work on the grounds of oymen merub ala parutz, or do we have again given that this is a, what's called a mechitza grua, it's not really such a good quality mechitza because it consists only of shesi or only of erev. Would that work, or do you actually have to have what can be considered 10 solid tfachim in that case? Okay. Rav Ashi gives a different explanation. Mechitza tzluya, by the way. The question that Rav Hamnuna had, nothing to do with the question of oimen merubah laparot or whatever. His question was mechitza tzluya. If the mechitza is hanging above the ground, as we have, we learned the other day, that Rav Tavla asked Rav, Mechitza Tluya Ma'u Shatata B'chorba. Suppose you have, for example, a ruined house, and the bottoms of the walls are destroyed, and you have a gap of 3 tfachim or more between the bottom of the wall between the bottom of the wall and the ground. Would that work? Amalei, and Rav answers him, Ein mechitza tzluya materas el b'mayim. No, that kind of thing only works when it comes to water that we had before. We had in Shabbos, and we mentioned before, we're going to discuss in more detail later in the Masechta, that only when you have, for example, a porch hanging out above the water, that the chum allow you, for example, in that case, you can make mechitzas hanging down from your porch above the water, and then you're allowed to reach through the hole in your porch and then fill up water from the lake underneath you, because kalushe kelu chum mayim, because the chum made a special kula when it comes to water, because water is such a basic necessity. But not in other cases, you need to have the mechitza needs to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. So Rav Ashi says that was Rav Hamnuna's question over here. So nothing to do with the question of oimen merubah laparot, but just the question, if you were to take a mat, which is 10 tefachim tall, not 7 tefachim and a little bit, like in the previous scenario, but 10 tefachim, and put it 3 tefachim or more above the ground, would we say, since after all, you have oimen merubah laparot, you have 10 tefachim versus 3 tefachim, would it be good enough? And the answer is that it would not. And Sfasemis actually explains a little slightly differently that actually Rav Hamnuna's question over here may have been, suppose that the ground under this mechitza is actually watery. Would that work or not? And the answer is that no, that kind of thing only helps in order to be able to draw water on Shabbos. As we learned a few days ago, it doesn't work as far as making it a mechitza in and of itself, because the fact is it is 3 or more tefachim above the ground. Okay, the bottom line is, in any case, we see the Ravid explains that we see that Rav Ashi is explaining Rav Hamnuna's question that it has nothing to do with the original question of Oymen Merubah Laparetz Be'erev, and therefore the bottom line halacha is now you have actually. So the Gemara has not really answered that question. Would it work in the case of Erev or not? The Rashba says, listen, we should be machmir because it's a suffix. The Ravid says that no, since Rav Ashi is clearly explaining that Rav Hamnuna never even had a question about oimen merubah laparetz when it comes to Erev. Obviously, Rav Hamnuna took it as a given that that's perfectly fine, just like we established in the previous Mishnah that it's fine for Shesi, it's equally fine for Erev. And therefore, there's no problem you can use oimen merubah laparetz even if it's an only Erev or only Shesi mechitza. And that's the halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch. So even if you have a mechitza made only out of vertical poles or only out of horizontal things like the ropes over here, then it's fine even if it's not solid 10 tefachim or whatever, even if it's oimen merubah laparetz. You just can't have, as we learned previously, you can't have porotz merubah oimed. You could even have, as your papa said, you could have porotz ke oimed. You could have them be the same thing. Okay. Well, we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Yeah.